Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, presented on Sunday, August 11th, 2024, is by Bill Davis on the topic of A Story of a Non-Believer.
Never taken to church but sent. I was told you would put on your suit, tie, and go to church. I was wondering if I would feel out of place today if I put on a shirt and tie. Out of place one. So, T-shirt and jeans, it is. As a kid, we had a strange dress code at home. My dad would be working on a project, and if he needed something from the hardware, he would put on his suit, go get what he needed, come home, change his clothes, and finish the project. There was a dress code in most of the churches. It was ladies wore dresses, hats, and gloves, and men wore dark suits and ties. The treasurer of one of those churches was complaining about a pig farmer who wore a Western-style suit to church. So I asked him, does he smell like a pig farmer? Well, no. Does he financially support the church? Well, yeah. Then what the hell difference does it make what kind of suit he wears? I wore the right kind of suit, but I could never support that church. Becoming an atheist, well, I don't know whether it was really an atheist or just not a believer in God. That started long before I was born. The Bible has a vindictive God who condemns a child to hell because he was born out of wedlock. My mother's father was born in 1865, never knew who his father was, and figured he was condemned to hell. My dad's parents were pillars of the Methodist Church. That grandfather made a prostitute of his wife with his boss for free passage and a job in the States, another child condemned to hell. 1937 and 38, my dad spent a year in Kingston Prison in Canada because he had a girlfriend. I always blame my mother for that. Dad would go to work on a Friday morning, come home to an empty house. Mother had to go home to her daddy. As soon as school was out in June, Grandpa would take me, my sisters, and mother to a summer home, and we wouldn't come home until school started. Well, with Dad in jail, we came to live with my mother's parents. That was in the winter of 1937. I started school when I was 4 in September of 38, and Gramps died in October. The day of the funeral, I was sent to the neighbors. And after that, I always felt that I was on the outside looking in. My sisters were in junior high school, and they had their own friends. Who wants a 5-year-old hanging around? I turned 5 in December, had a part in the Christmas program, and somehow managed to embarrass my mother. I don't think I wet my pants or pooped on the floor, but she never let me forget it. My dad came back to live with us in April or May of 1939, and I was baptized on June 11th, 1939, and this book outlines what was to be done. Be it known, William Orlow, child of Gladys Buckley and Arthur Ernest Davis, born December 12, 1933, at Niagara Falls, New York, having been presented for holy baptism, and a solemn promise having been made that as soon as he shall be able to learn, he will be instructed in the principles of our holy faith and the nature of the Christian life, and shall be trained to give reverent attendance upon public and private worship of God. and the teaching of the Word, in order, by precept and example, he may be led into the love of God and the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, was this day baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, John F. Loeffler, minister. With my dyslexia, I didn't learn to read until 1944. My parents figured I would never be able to learn. So here I am at 90, and a Christian education never started. The only time I remember being in church with my parents was when my oldest sister was married in 1949. That was a surprise, because the parents had ended their 20 years of war in 1946. Mother took me to live with Grandma, moved from one war zone to another. This is when my Christian education started. Put on my suit and sent to church. The youth group would meet in church, sit through the opening words, the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and a hymn, and go to class. I like to make up my own words to some of the hymns. Onward, Christian soldiers, off to kill all the non-Christians by order of a pope in 1404. And then there was an old rugged cross on a hill far away. Well, I changed the words to that. On a hill far away stood an old Chevrolet, the emblem of suffering and shame. As many a child were conceived on that hill far away in the back seat of that old Chevrolet. That was part of my Christian education. Looking around the room, we see our seven principals. Seven of our members each took one principal and did the artwork. I have been working on number four most of my life and didn't know it. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning. As a kid, I felt like a boat without a rudder. So you use the oars to steer the boat. A friend was going for a Youth for Christ rally in New York City, and I went with him. By the third day, the boat was going in crazy circles. The fourth day was Sunday, and I'd had enough of the Jesus talk, so I didn't go to church. Lucky the boat still had oars. Well, in a rowboat, when you're using both oars, your back is to the direction you're going. Well, I landed on a sandbar called Christ for Allegheny County. That was even harder to swallow than the Youth for Christ rally. Then the oars were removed. Instead of an anchor, I was set free. Hymn number four in our hymnal by Max Knapp describes that freedom. I brought my spirit to the sea and stood upon the shore. I gazed upon infinity, it heard the waters roar. And then there came a sense of peace. Some whisper calmed my soul. Some ancient mystery of stars has made my spirit whole. I'm an old man and survived letting the wind and tide take me wherever it wants. Hopefully I've done a good deed or two and been helpful to some. Ancient Egyptian leaders built pyramids to encase their remains and treasures for the afterlife. A few thousand years later, they were still there. They hadn't gone anywhere. Of course, they didn't take Jesus as their own personal savior, so they can't go to heaven. Doesn't matter that they never heard of him. One sister became a Jesus peddler. When a problem arose, she would pray about it and hope someone else would take care of it. She was even going to pray for me. I told her not to waste her time. If you can't do anything, say so. All prayer does is make the person pray and feel like they've done something. Now, Rabbi Jesus' Jewish lineage goes back centuries. and both his parents' families. There may be a reason that he was nailed to the cross other than his teaching. In today's world, a man in his 30s who isn't married, hangs around with 12 of the guys, may be considered gay. In some countries, being gay is a death sentence. Some radical Christians in this country would like to make it a law here. Strange, having abortion is murder, but killing a gay person is perfectly all right. Gay, left-handed, transgender, people with dyslexia have a brain that is wired differently. It's like your car. If you turn on the heater, the wipers turn on, you might be able to get it fixed. Trans, left-handed, and dyslexic people are lucky to have available the help that they need. The radical Christians should let the doctors, teachers, do their jobs. I am dyslexic, and in 1940, the Niagara Falls school system was testing students and had a special class for us. That took care of the problem for the 20 or more of us in the 1944-45 school year. It now costs too much to hire a person to do the testing, and another person to correct the problem. I guess children don't need to learn to read it anyway. Whatever happened to love your neighbor or do unto others as you would like them to do unto you? My thought is that this is ancient history and doesn't have meaning in the far-right Christian life today. This group of so-called Christians have a new savior, Donald J. Christ. He feeds them lies and they take it as holy scripture. Unless you believe as they do, you'll go to hell. I think an eternity in hell is preferably to being in a room with them for a year. The more I hear about their religion, the better I like rattlesnakes. At least they warn you before they insert their venom. I'm kind of glad that I was never brainwashed into believing there is a God. You have Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. They show up every year. Has anybody ever seen God? A lot of people say they talk to him. Things like this turn me off on religion. When I die, I want to go someplace warm. And we'll start the process early by being cremated. Whoever makes the arrangement has a few choices: a green burial, cremation, or spend thousands of dollars on a fancy box that people can look at for a few hours and buried in a cement box that is guaranteed not to leak for 30 years. I guess you have to leave funds for someone to dig you up every 30 years and replace the seal. In 20 or 30 years, no one will know I even existed. I'm content with the realization that when I die, I will be dead, and that will be the end of it. Well, that's the end of that. Now, if we would like to have some discussion, maybe I can answer questions.